I'm Greg Hunter. Welcome to USAWatchdog.com. With us, a guest that is a regular guest. She's one of the most insightful guests and smartest person I know. She is a former financial advisor, but knows a lot about money. She was a former assistant housing secretary. She managed a $300 billion portfolio. She knows about big money, knows about big ideas. She's also going to talk about this. This is coming out, the hard copy of this. It's about gold and silver and why gold and silver are going to be very important to you in the future. It is Catherine Austin Fitz, Catherine Austin Fitz of Solari.com. Catherine Austin Fitz, thank you for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com.
Hey, Craig, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you and everybody in the audience.
Yes, I say Happy Birthday, Jesus. So,
my birthday is December 24th, except... Except it's December 25th in Bethlehem. So, you know, because I was born late in the evening on the 24th. So here in Europe, it's the 25th.
So we
celebrate, Jesus and I get to celebrate together.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Happy birthday, Catherine. So in the pre-interview, you said, I want to talk about what actions people can take.
Yeah.
And before we get to the actions people can take, I want to, because I got Karen Kingston, coming on again this week, because things are really breaking up. People are really coming to know that this is awful and people are dying. I mean, Drew Griffin, who I knew at CNN, just died of cancer. Was he vaxxed? Did he turbocharge his cancer? I don't know. They'll never tell you. A lot of people are dying. I mean, young people, 37-year-olds, stars, people who are quasi-famous. But that doesn't count the people that are dying in their homes that you never hear of who aren't famous.
Right.
And so you had said something once really important, and you were the only person that really brought this out. Maybe Ed Dowd also, but you said, I hate to be morbid, and I'm not trying to be morbid, and I don't think it's morbid. I think it's just good analysis based on the facts of this bioweapon, and in America alone, 600 million doses of this crap. And you said it's going to be very deflationary. In other words, so many people are going to die, you won't need your car, you won't need your house. There's going to be a glut of things on the economy. This bioweapon is coming. It's coming. People are going to understand what's been done to them. Are you seeing this unfolding now?
So I think a lot of people already know. If you look at the Skidmore survey that Mark Skidmore published last year, earlier in 2022, it was in January, it was clear from that survey that not only the number of adverse events and deaths coming from the injections was very significant, but there's a significant number of people understood that it was coming from the injections. So, and the media's done a remarkably good job of painting a very different picture. But at some point, you can't defy reality. And so that is coming out. And of course, we've seen it translate now into market action. So we see in one day the life insurance company trading down 30%, the funeral home trading up 20%. That's a 50%, divergence, if you will. So whether it's integrating into people's lives and their health or integrating into the market action, it's impossible to avoid reality. And it's interesting, Greg, last week I watched the Doctors for COVID Ethics did their fifth symposium in December this month. And Sasha Latipova gave a 15-minute presentation called Intent to Do Harm, which is going to be up on the Doctors for COVID Ethics website. And it's incredible. But she makes a compelling case that this was not a vaccine, it was not a pharmaceutical, it was not a medicine. She says it's a weapon. The variability in the batches is far too great for it to be classified or described as a medicine or pharmaceutical. And of course, if you look at the damage it's doing, you can only conclude, therefore, that it's a weapon. And that's what she describes. And she's a very experienced, seasoned pharmaceutical executive. I mean, this is somebody who's coming from the industry and really knows the ins and outs of the definitions and legal definitions and regulations, et cetera. So I think we're at a point where you have very serious doctors and scientists looking just at the facts that are known and saying, we're now staring down the barrel of a mass atrocity. this is a mass atrocity. This is a depopulation. This is a genocide. You know, we're still struggling for a word to quite describe, because if you look at the economic restrictions that occurred as part of it, they probably have killed more people than the injection so far. So the deaths and illness are much more significant than are, you know, popularly understood.
Wow. This whole thing is going to have this, which I think this is what they wanted. You know, they know they're running out of money. They can't pay all the pensions. They can't pay Social Security. They can't pay this. Is this the motivation behind it, or they just want to save the planet? And, you know, they don't want us useless eaters out there. I mean, these are sick people that are orchestrating this very complicated, plan. Are they not?
So there are a lot of different theories of why this has happened the way it's happened. And in my experience, when something this big happens, Greg, it doesn't just have one goal. There are, you know, it's called stacking functions, and they stack functions. You know, one, I think, is they do want to reset the financial system, because we have had a financial coup d'etat. But there's something else. If you look at the central banking warfare model that's run this planet for centuries now, if you're the central bankers, you cannot maintain control unless you use digital technology to go to complete control. So digital technology gives the planet the ability for the general population to dramatically increase their learning speed, dramatically increase their access to knowledge, and dramatically increase their political and economic power unless the central bankers use it for central control. And so you're staring down a situation. It's a kind of a prisoner's dilemma. You either assert complete control or you lose control. And I think the central bankers have decided, you know, and the question is why, but for a variety of reasons, they're going to assert central control. They have 10 to 20 years to do it. And that's what they're moving to do. They're moving to literally chip people like livestock, mind control them like livestock, and have complete control. They don't want to brook any opposition. And so they're implementing a control system. You know, it's no longer going to be a financial system. It's just going to be a straight out transaction control system. And they're saying no freedom of transaction, no freedom of health choices, no freedom of anything. We want complete control. And unfortunately, it looks like that's, you know, that's not only coming with a form of slavery that is far worse, in my opinion, than historical forms of slavery, because it's so physically invasive. But now we're talking about significant depopulation.
Ooh, that's a mouthful. Why do they think they can get away with it? I mean, how do they? They know this was going to happen. They're that stupid. Why do they think they can get away with this?
So let me tell you one theory. One scientist who I know and have great respect for believes that a lot of what's happened in the last 3 years was simply to sufficiently terrorize the population that you can get them to go along with being injected and chipped and controlled. So this is a form of terrorization. And it's a way of marketing the control they want. So I think, you know, I think part of this is to put people in fear. And that's why one of the most important things we have to do in 2023 is get out of fear and stay out of fear. And that means you got to be real careful about not ingesting a lot of TV and not ingesting a lot of mind control technology. The reason they think they can get away with it, Greg, is they've gotten away with it so far. So, you know, I've always said that crime that pays is crime that stays. And what we've watched since 1998 is incredible crime in the implementation of a financial coup. They've gotten away with it. And the more they get people to ingest massive amounts of propaganda, disinformation, entrainment, subliminal programming, you know, all the mind control tricks. Now, they know that can't last forever, which is why they're now talking about putting a chip in you, or, you know, putting a neural link in your head. And all these crazy things. That's so they can assert complete control even when you disagree with them. You know, they can shut down your disagreement.
I was watching CBS, which is a shell of what it achieved. The CBS propaganda news, the propaganda news, talking about the indictment, the criminal referral to Donald Trump. This going on while the Hunter Biden laptop has now been exposed for exactly the crime scene that it is. And they're still going after Donald Trump, who wants to destroy the New World Order. I mean, I had Alex Newman on. He says, you know, if you, I know you would disagree about the, you know, the shots and all that, but boy, he was taking a sledgehammer to the New World Order. He got us out of the Paris Climate Accord. He got us out of who?
Well, but wait a minute. He put $10 billion into a military program to depopulate Americans. Come on, Greg. I'm going to be a tough guy about this.
He, do you think he was told the truth, though? I mean, Birx came out on Fox and said, I always knew the mRNA injections would not offer, you know, much protection against infection. She came out and said that, and Neil Cavuto's like, you can Google this.
He's so if you look at the history of what is known, it takes 10 to 12 years to test out a vaccine to make sure it's safe. Everybody knows that. You know, come on. So... No,
you think, you actually think Donald Trump actually knew, hey, we're going to depopulate and murder off a bunch of people? See, I don't. I think he was lied to, and he missed this. He knows now. He knows now.
If there was one person who understood how dangerous vaccines are that was in political life, it was Donald Trump, because this was a big issue during the campaign, and he made a big issue about, you know, the dangers of vaccines. So he knows.
So you think he knew ahead of time? You think he knew going into it that we're going to depopulate people? See, I just don't believe that. I think he knows now. I think he definitely knows now, but which he shouldn't. Which I'm pissed that he's not coming out.
So I'm just going to be a tough guy because okay. I knew the injection program stunk. I knew it was dangerous, and I knew there were different nefarious agendas that could go on. And I said to people, you know, as soon as the virus started. Or as soon as they claimed there was a virus, because I think it was more than one thing going on, I said, don't worry about COVID. Worry about the injection. Don't take the injection, whatever you do. So if I knew that in March 2020, I'm sure Trump knew that. So no, $10 billion, he put in charge of Operation Warp Speed someone who's, you know, was head of research at a pharmaceutical company. And his expert, you know, his expertise was on brain machine interface. Come on, Greg.
Wow.
Now, well, I will give Trump credit. He pulled us out of the WHO.
Yeah.
So, you know,
he also pulled us out of the Paris Climate Accord, too.
Right. And one of the most dangerous things we're facing right now is the new treaty from the WHO, which they're trying to say does not require a vote of the Senate, 2/3 vote of the Senate, because it's not a change in treaty. And it is. It's a new treaty. And if there's anything that needs to be stopped right now, we have, if you go to Solaria.com, there's a new template letter that you can send to your representatives, and you say, you get us out of the WHO and you stop funding the WHO, or we're going to be completely stripped of our national sovereignty. I mean, I'm telling you, if you go into the WHO, then you are turning over the entire country to a government who's going to kill you.
Is there any way for Trump to redeem himself for the people out there that still believe in him and go to his rallies? Is there any way for him to redeem himself? Can he come out and say, listen, I was lied to. They pulled a fast one. I put people in charge that were supposed to, you know, deliver something that was supposed to fix this COVID thing. And all we find out is that all of it from infection to injection was a big bioweapon. Can he come out and then redeem himself or not?
You know, I don't know. I'm not close enough to sort of his political position right now. But if I were in Trump's shoes, I'd say I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And here's what we need to do next year. But I don't know how you come back from this.
He won't do it. Karen Kingston was on his Truth Social. She got banned for coming out and talking about how this is a bioweapon, just like your expert.
It
Karen
is.
Kingston. She, right. Karen Kingston came to this conclusion a year ago, and she said all the documents say it's a bioweapon. It is it is indeed a bio. Not what I think. It's what the documents say. She's a brilliant biotech analyst.
Here's the problem. You know, Trump, you can say Trump, you know, was on board for a depopulation or Trump got rolled. Either one is not a very good case to be made that he ought to be president.
Wow. I just can't believe that he would say, sure, let's kill millions of people. I just have a hard time believing that, especially when Birx writes a book.
But go back. Then you're saying he's incompetent. Because if I knew what I knew, you know, don't tell me I knew more than Trump. I just don't buy that.
Wow, that's pretty sad. Coming from, you know, listen, I think the world of you. And so I have you on, and I put on things that piss people off, right? I put on all kinds of different views. And
well,
I don't
but here's
want...
the thing. We've got
I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that's depressing because
you got to hold people accountable. You got to tell the truth and you got to hold people accountable. That's the only way out of this.
I told people not to take it, and I got punished for it. And, you know, people got pissed at me for, you know, I had a poll on my site, and I got 600,000 responses, and I don't think they were trolls. And almost 100%, I mean, the negatives were so small, it didn't even register zero. It was less than 1%, right? And it was like 700,000 said they wouldn't vote for him unless he did a 180 and come clean and say, I made a mistake and I was lied to. The people are pissed at him. I have a hard time with trolls trashing Trump and then real people trashing Trump, just like you did. I have a hard time with it. And I want to have the real reaction.
Every quarter while Trump was the president, we did a report card on Trump. And the Trump card varied from areas where he was doing a great job, like getting us out of the climate accord and getting us out of the WHO, to areas where he was doing a terrible job. I mean, on the financials and on the financial coup, you know, at one point, I think Farrell gave him a, you know, I was giving him Fs and Farrell was giving him, you know, he went down the alphabet. I think he ended up at Z. So, you know, it was a mixed bag.
And Biden is a big, fat, huge, smoking, steaming bag of crap, F.
Here's the thing. The president is not running the situation. The president is not in charge. That's what you got to understand. And, you know, I keep talking
explain
about...
Explain that. The president is not... Please, so we explain that. Well, he's the president. Why isn't he in charge? But explain why...
What happened in 1963? What happened in November 1963?
Well, Kennedy was shot in the head.
Well, the U.S. intelligence agencies and military and establishment got together and killed the president, right?
That's right.
And who controls the Secret Service, right? It's the Secretary of the Treasury and the people who run the country. So the deep state controls the Secret Service, and their guns point out and their guns point in. So, you know, the president, in a highly centralized system, the president has very little power. Now, I've told you the red button story many, many times, but the moral of the story of the red button story, if you go to Solari or you go on the web, you can do a search for the red button story in my name and you'll pull it right up. But essentially what it says, everybody in America wants their check. And the way they get their check is to borrow more money and print more money. And so you've had a lot of popular support for the financial coup. And the reason is everybody wants their check. Now, you put the president in charge, you hit the population with massive amounts of propaganda, disinformation, entrainment. Suddenly they're screaming they want a vaccine, right? And you're Trump, and you feel cornered and squeezed by the fact that everybody wants their check. And the only way you can get their check is to be nice to the deep state and the central bankers. And the only way you can make them happy is to give them whatever the entrainment and TV has persuaded them they want.
Do you think that he art of the deal this thing, and he had a trade-off? And the trade-off was, well, you get your check, but some of you are going to die.
You know something? I have no idea what was going on. And I don't care, because you had the president roll out something that in March 2020, I was sure was going to harm and kill millions of Americans. And he either has two reasons for doing it. He's incompetent, or he is breaking the law. Which do you want? I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't say. But I know what I knew, and I know what I hold him responsible to know, and I know what he did. Well, and I know what I would have done. I would never, you know, I would have taken a bullet in the head before I would implement a culling of the American population.
I would, too. I would not do it. Right. Right. Of course, we have to lay some blame squarely at Biden's. You have a vaxxer job and mandates and forcing this shit, which Trump wouldn't have done. That's what he says anyway. And
right. Let's back up, because we're not talking about we're talking around in a box where there are no solutions. And we have to go to where we can get power and implement real solutions. Remember, I just want to make this clear. In October 2019, when everybody in America was being entertained by the teenage sex life of the Supreme Court nominee Kavanaugh, the House, the Senate, and the White House, Democrat and Republican, both sides of the aisle, got together and approved Statement 56 of the Federal Accounting Advisory or Standards Advisory Board, which said that they could keep secret books. That was everybody together. Okay? So there is no right versus left. There is no Trump versus Biden. there is a machine in control of a spending machine that is financed with our taxes and debt borrowed in our name that is being sold into our pension funds and into our retirement accounts. There is that machine, and that machine, to keep balancing the books, is implementing a depopulation plan. That is the reality that has to be faced, and changing the president won't matter. Now, if you got your head out of Washington and started to focus on your state legislators and local leaders, you could start to make progress protecting yourself against the machine. And that's what we need to talk about, because it doesn't matter who's going to be in the White House. I mean, it'll matter incremental differences. But if you want to make real progress against the machine, you've got to talk turkey about where your money's going, what it's doing, and who are the local leaders and the state legislators who are going to support you when this machine fails you completely, which it is. If it doesn't do it in 2023, it's got to do it in 2024. So you better be ready.
Let's start with this.
You don't have any more time to worry about Trump or Biden. You need to take action to protect yourself and your family, and to try and work with your state legislators to get real sovereignty at a state and local level, or else you're going to go down.
And not sure. This is one of the reasons. Well, one of the many reasons why I like you. Say, yeah, I hear things from you that I don't hear from other people.
Well, but here's the thing. One of your number one job as a mother or father or person responsible for a family or even just for yourself, you have got to protect yourself from the great poisoning. And Trump's not going to protect you from the great poisoning. Biden's not going to protect you from the great poisoning. Whoever gets elected is not going to protect you from the great poisoning. You have to protect yourself against the great poisoning, which means you need to understand it and you need to know how to navigate it. That's what you have to do. So stop worrying about all those people, because they can't help you. You are on your own.
Let's talk about this being on your own. Your Solari, which is lovely. I'm sorry I didn't get the rollout yet. It's not done yet. But it's on your website. It's going to be on your website soon. We're talking about gold and silver. When this comes from you, I'd say, whoop, heads up. You're talking about gold and silver. This is beyond just bribing the prison guards. This is a very important part of what you should be looking at in the future. Is that right?
Right. So this is about sovereignty. It's about family wealth and sovereignty and how you create the conditions of sovereignty. Because the problem, we don't have a financial problem, Greg. We have a problem of sovereignty. And that's why we did the annual wrap-up on sovereignty, the one with the cover of Wim Hof. So we asked Franklin Sanders, who's a wonderful newsletter writer, and he and his family have a precious metals deal, volunteer metals, to write a whole section about how we can use gold and silver locally to start to protect ourselves. So let me just start with the state legislators. I just did a great interview with Senator Frank Nicely from Tennessee on why states should create sovereign banks like North Dakota. North Dakota has one. And bullion depositories like Texas. Texas has built its own state bullion depository. And how to use a state bank and a state depository to start to create the conditions of sovereignty that citizens are going to need. So we start with what the state legislators need to do. And in Tennessee, in fact, Senator Nicely and his colleagues got the state tax, sales tax removed from gold and silver, which is fantastic because that makes it much easier for us to use it as a currency. So if we get in real trouble with inflation or a breakdown in law and order, using gold and silver is one way to start doing a local currency on a just do it basis. If you go to Solari, we have a silver and gold calculator that we did with Franklin and his colleagues. It's at silverandgoldormoney.com, but you can just link to it from Solari. And literally tomorrow, you can start trading. You can get a group of local businesses and local farms together and decide you're just going to start trading using gold and silver. And it toggles back and forth. It's just a calculator, and it toggles back and forth between 150 different currencies, including the dollar and gold and silver. So if you want to just start trading, and so there's a lot of information in this wrap-up about how you could do that if you want. We also have a section for Europeans, because you know what's happening in the United States is clearly that more and more states are moving to make it easy for people to use gold and silver and really use it in a liquid way and use it as money, whereas in Europe it's not the same. So anyway, but we do have a section on Europe. So this is really to help people get going and thinking about how they get back to using gold and silver in very practical ways in their life. So, and that's one of the things, you know, we've been promoting for all year long to use cash, and cash is skyrocketing, Greg. I have to tell you a story I just got from somebody. It was out in California. They needed new checks, and they had trouble getting through to the company that their bank uses for checks, and it's a well-known check-making company. It took them a long time to get through, and finally they got through, and while the person was processing their order, they said, why is it so hard to get through? You know, it's never been hard in the past. And the person said, oh my God, you're not going to believe this. We are overwhelmed since October. We have everybody working extra hours and overtime and extra shifts. We are just overwhelmed with people ordering checks. And a lot of people want instructions on how to use checks because they've never used them before. And we can't figure out what is going on. Why is check demand going through the roof? Well, I know why, because people don't want to use online payment systems anymore. They don't want to use credit cards. They want to use cash, and they want to use checks. They've had it. They, you know, they can smell it. They can feel it. They're walking back the tyranny.
You saw, but PayPal made an announcement, and this is a big, huge pie in the face. So we're going to take $2,500 if you say the wrong thing. That is exactly that. If you spread misinformation, really, I'm a reporter. I don't want to put out misinformation. What is it? What am I misinforming people about?
Right.
And I think they got a big pie in the face. I think they got their stock took a beating. People left. People are leaving PayPal. I have it up as a necessary evil. I have Cornerstone, a Christian payment system. But I think they and all of a sudden, boop, silent about taking the $2,500.
So we started when PayPal first announced that they were going to do this $2,500 fee. They first put it in their terms and conditions, I think, I forget when it was, but it was sometime at the end of 2021, I think. It could have been earlier. And we got quite concerned because we said we want to tell the truth and we don't want to worry about this. So we started giving incentives to encourage people to pay us with cash and coin and checks. So, you know, you can send us a money order, you can set up an ACH, you can send us a cash a check. You could stop by in Hickory Valley and give us cash. You know, so we had all these different ways. Well, we're up to about, on our subscriptions, we're up to about 30 or 35% are now paying through the cash and coin program and not paying through online systems or credit cards.
Wow.
So we're trying to grow that to a bigger and bigger number. And yes, it's a lot more work, but it means we can tell the truth and not worry.
I had somebody giving me $5 a month, which is lovely. And he just sent me a letter saying, I canceled PayPal, and I'm just going to give you $60 a year at this time of year. And that's my, you know, help to you, which is, listen, I love it. Most of my I don't have a subscription. Most of my donations are $5 or $10. And, you know, which is fine. It's lovely. And I write a thank you card to him with snail mail. But which is, you know, any fine, but that's just part and parcel. I mean, I get all these comments, right? I get 500 comments and emails a day. And that's what people are doing. I've seen it with PayPal. They're just...
So here's the thing. If enough people if they will drop off cash or they will drop off coin or they will mail a check or they will do an ACH, you know, $5 adds up into a platform that can tell the truth. And you know that. Right.
Well, you know, at the end of the year, all of a sudden, you know, think $5 a month. That's not at the end of the year, you're going to check for $60. Wow, $60. I don't even have a subscription. It's free. You don't have to pay me any money. I don't even ask for donations, but I do appreciate them. That's what you're talking about. You're talking about using cash and getting off this debit card and credit card and getting away from the banks and getting away and holding cash in hand. I mean, cash can work good.
One of the reasons you should talk to your local businesses about paying cash, you would not believe the percent that the credit cards and these other financial systems skim off a neighborhood. And that could be the difference between a company making a profit or taking a loss. So I'll never forget one of my subscribers said, you know, I was talking to my local dry cleaner, and they said they lose to fees, those financial fees, $2,500 a month. Well, $2,500 a month for a dry cleaner is the difference between a profit and a loss.
Holy cow.
Right.
Wow.
So talk to your local businesses. Now, here's what's been happening, because we've been doing this for more than a year. What's coming back are people are saying, you know, I started to talk to my local business, and we realized there are all sorts of different ways we can transact differently that will make them more money and I'll get better service. And so by having these conversations, you know, a lot of really great things are happening. And that's what you want to do. You want to talk to your local businesses and your local farms and get much more going. I told you our annual wrap-up, we publish it. I'll publish the interview in the third week in January. It's a whole collection of materials on food. And the big piece is on what is happening with synthetic food and lab-grown meat. And Greg, it's so frightening what is coming in terms of their control of the food supply. You know, the big quote that we're using is one I gave in my speech in Knoxville in October. And I said, don't finance your local farms because you want to make money. Finance your local farms because you don't want to eat insects. Because I got news for you. The only food we're going to have is the food we own, we grow, and we finance, and we fund, and we protect. You know, we've spent a lot of time and money over the last 2 years raising money for the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, which is one of my favorite charities. And they just field litigators who go out and fight and protect small farmers from people trying to shut them down. And we got to fight for these guys, and we got to finance these guys, or else we're not going to have food. Well, and if you look at the food they're going to make and what they're planning, you think these injections are bad? Wait, do you get a load of lab-grown meat?
You're over in Europe, in Western Europe, in Holland, they're shutting down 3,000 farms. Is that in your neck of the woods? What's going on with that?
That's in my neck of the woods. And apparently the European Union just came out with a proposal to tax everybody on carbon in a massive way. I have yet to read the proposal. I just saw the headline go by this morning. But there's a real movement to use the whole carbon credit for complete control.
Are they going to be able to shut down all these farms?
They're trying. And they're growing, you know, they're building installations to make synthetic food.
Ah, yeah, they don't want real food. I see some of the protests with the tractors. I mean, this isn't a bunch of people, you know, farming over there with donkeys and
one bottom the pals. The Netherlands is a real food juggernaut, and the farmers here are smart, they're intelligent, they're well educated, they're great people. I mean, it's one of the most productive groups of human beings on the planet. They are wonderful, wonderful people.
I see the protests, and they have high-tech farm equipment in these protests.
Right.
This isn't a bunch of people with a bunch of mules and wooden one-bottom piles.
No, these are
state-of-the-art economics here.
Well, here's the other thing. The last time they were asked to dramatically reduce nitrogen, you know, and different things, they achieved it. So these are guys who can really perform, including on some of these, you know, I mean, they're very sensitive to environmental requests, is my impression.
Well, what else should people be doing? You said a long time ago that, you know, stop banking at these big, giant banks. Somebody just asked me, how do I find a good local bank? Go ahead.
Okay, so if you go to Solari, just put local bank in the search engine, and you'll get an article called How to Find a Good Local Bank. And you just walk through the steps. And
this is free. You don't have to be a member.
Oh, it's totally free.
Okay. There's a lot of free stuff on Solari.
There's a ton of free stuff at Solari.
Yep.
So another great one you want to read, just put this in the search engine. What percentage of my assets should I hold in precious metals? That's another great one if you want to get going. Now, this wrap-up, if you want to get going in precious metals and learn all about precious metals, it's a great way to get going with a lot of the stuff we have on the website. Anyway, but get what percentage of my assets should I hold in precious metals. Find a good local bank or credit union. What you want is one that has really good governance and really good management. It's been in the community operating for a long time. It knows the community. You know, you have people who are very financially literate and they know how to work with the community. In fact, we have one of the letters we've just published in addition, and you can get it on a search engine, is a letter to write to your bankers and saying, you know, what is CBDC going to do to me and what is it going to do to you and what should we do about it? So you want to be talking to your bankers about what CBDC could do, because the CBDCs over time could absolutely wipe out all the small banks and credit unions. It's very dangerous.
A central bank digital currency, CBCD.
Yeah, central, except it's not a currency, it's a control system.
Central bank digital control
right,
system.
Right, because they say it's not your money, it's their money. And they can freeze, I mean, they have complete central control. I got you to watch that video of the BIS general manager, Augustine.
He died. I think he died, didn't he?
No, maybe not.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I got that wrong. Never mind. Go ahead. Karsten, go ahead.
Yeah, so Karsten basically said we can set the rules centrally and we can enforce them centrally, which means if the head of the BIS doesn't want you buying pizza, you can't buy pizza. He can shut off your money. And if they don't want you leaving, you know, if you're under lockdown, they don't want you leaving your home, your money won't work. You know, you can't go down to the train station and buy a ticket because your credit card won't work. Your bank account won't work.
That's awful.
Okay, so another thing you want to do is you want to pay down your debts because you don't want to wake up and have them declare CBDC legal tender, and you can't pay off your debts unless you get deep into CBDC. So I just, you know, I had a tiny amount left on my mortgage, and I just said, I'm sick of thinking about this. I'm just going to pay it off. So,
this
you know,
is in Tennessee or in Europe? Where are you now?
Tennessee.
You're in Tennessee.
Right. Today I'm in Europe, but I paid off the mortgage in Tennessee. So now another thing you want to do is you want to be in a great jurisdiction. So if you're not in a great jurisdiction and you can move, you might want to think about moving and getting to a much more lawful jurisdiction. There is wide variability in the quality of jurisdiction. So if you look at the United States and the different states, if you were a small business in a good jurisdiction, you were fine. If you were a small business in a bad jurisdiction, you were bankrupted and destroyed. And, you know, and the politicians' friends all got your market share for free or picked up your assets cheap.
You mean like in California where you can steal $900 worth of stuff or something crazy like that and you won't go to jail or the cops won't come when they're in there and a mob's rifling through a store and cleaning it out? Be a jurisdiction like that where they won't stop theft?
So the latest statistic I saw was 49% of the small businesses in San Francisco were bankrupted or closed as a result of the, you know, sort of the whole process. And my guess is if you sort of look at what's happening economically, the number's going to be higher by the end of the year, is my guess. But it mattered which jurisdiction you were in. So if you were in Florida or South Dakota, it mattered tremendously if you were in Illinois or California. And that's especially true because the good jurisdictions tend to be more financially responsible and less taxes. So in Tennessee, you know, no income taxes. Makes a big difference to a small business and a small business owner, you know, trying to sort of turtle through this period. Another thing you want to do is you want to start to get to know your neighbors. And you want to be in a jurisdiction where you can get to know your neighbors and get to know your neighbors. And then after you get to know your neighbors, you want to make sure you know your sheriff. Who's your sheriff? So one of the things you'll see sometimes on our website is who's your farmer, who's your sheriff, who's your banker, where's your money? So you want to have a personal relationship with your banker. You want to know your sheriff and be able to talk to him. You want to know your farmer and be able to talk to him. I mean, one of the ways to get food that's trustworthy is to know where it comes from and to know your farmer and know your farmer's not going to do, you know, crazy stuff like some of the things that go on. So, you know, take the time, stop paying attention to Trump and Biden and take the time to get to know your farmer, your banker, your sheriff and your local leaders. So I would tell you, if 10% of the people who were wasting their time thinking about Trump or Biden would instead get behind state legislators like Senator Nicely, we would have a revolution. Because we have great local and state leaders, and they know what to do, and they can do it with a lot of popular support. But right now they believe, you know, that what everybody wants is another check from the federal government, and they've got to play ball with the federal government. Well, the federal government is sticking, you know, what I consider to be fraudulent bonds into our pension funds and ultimately destroying our sovereignty.
Are some places like, let's start with the states, I want to work up to the federal government. Are some places like California and Chicago or San Francisco, or maybe not the whole state of Illinois, there's a lot of conservatives in Illinois. There's a lot of conservatives in California, incidentally. Right. You think it's all blue state because are they going to just be destroyed? Are they going to just
implode? Well, you know, so let me talk about the states. What happens in the future depends tremendously on leadership going forward. So if you have the kind of leadership, if you have the kind of leadership that we've seen in Tennessee over the last couple of years continue and people really support them, it will be remarkable what they could do. And it would be great if they could do it because then other states can see it and follow. You know, it's easier to do a sovereign state bank because North Dakota has done one and it's been very successful. It's easier to do a bullion depository because now Texas has done one and people can see how it works. So, you know, we want to support the people who are sort of leading in very, very successful ways in Tennessee. You know, I have to brag about Tennessee. Tennessee has done a very, very good job. If they can get the support, it's amazing what can happen. The thing that is an indicator of whether your state has a is on solid footing is, number one, has it been run with balanced budgets? Does it is it in a financially sound position? That's number one. Number two, are the pension funds fully funded? So the pension funds in Tennessee are fully funded. In South Dakota, they're fully funded. Because one of the reasons the states go along with the crazy federal stuff is they're in a debt trap. You know, they're not in a financially sound position. And so when the feds throw a lot of money at them, you know, that's what happens. So you want the state budgets and you want the state pension funds to be in a sound condition. But the other thing is you want low taxes, because low taxes is what drains a small business owner, a small farm. And then you want health care and financial freedoms. You want to be free to transact. You want to be free to get the health care policy, you know, or to decide what goes into your body. So in Tennessee, you can't deny people ivermectin. If they want ivermectin, and that's state law. If you try and mandate, if an employer tries to mandate a vaccine in Tennessee, you can go to the AG and have them fine $10,000.
You said low taxes drain a farm. It's high taxes drain a farm. That's what you meant, right?
I'm sorry. That's what I meant. High taxes.
High taxes drain.
So the other thing you want to look at, you have good state AGs. Does your state AG, because I'll tell you where this is going to come down to. In last year, we published a big wrap-up on taxation, and you and I discussed it. If you go to taxation.solari.com, we put it all up for free so anybody can read it. Or just go to Solari, put taxation in the search bar, and you'll pull it up. And you can read the whole wrap-up. It's available to the public. And what we said is this is going to come down to a tax issue because we can't keep paying federal taxes to a government that is using money in criminal ways. And the way to deal with that, we believe, is for the state AGs to start jumping in and taking action, particularly because HUD and DOD and the Treasury refuse to obey the fundamental laws in the Constitution and in financial management laws about how to run the money. So we are putting money into a machinery that's not obeying the financial management laws, and that there needs to be enforcement. And the appropriate people to do that are the state AGs. So, and if you look at what the state AGs have done, they've done a huge amount to protect the citizens in their jurisdiction. The big one is going to be taxes because the federal government is spending our tax money illegally and they're issuing securities and that money's coming into accounts that are being run from everything we can tell illegally. You can't, you know, I go back to crime that pays or crime that stays. We can't keep letting the New York member banks run the federal accounts illegally. And that's what they're doing. And that's why I keep saying, get out of those banks. You know, I can't understand, Greg, why if the New York Fed member banks and the New York Fed are running your tax accounts illegally, why would you bank with those people? Why would you do that? You know, after Madoff and all the criminality of JP Morgan Chase, why would you do that? Why would you bank with those people?
Well, speaking of criminality, I mean, here we have again in this $1.6 trillion slush fund that is going to skyrocket some more inflation. They got 40, reportedly on paragraph 9, this is Citizen Press basically putting this out. They put $45 billion more for war in Ukraine, more for the insanity that that's going on in Ukraine.
So let me just be a bad guy. You know, if you look at the FTX, you know, my question is how much of the money that got sent to the Ukraine just came laundered right back
Lord.
For the election?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So, you know, to me, the Ukraine is just, it's not a destination point. It's a throughput point. Do you know what I mean?
You think that's $45 billion just going to get laundered right back into the Democrats, to the...
God knows where all that money is going, but it's like you send weapons to the Ukraine and then the plane crashes on the way to Bangladesh. You know, did it go to the Ukraine for use, or did it go to the Ukraine to be auctioned off and sold around the world? I mean, at this point, you know, I hate to say it, we're in full scale implosion. The corruption is that bad. And that's why I'm telling you, what we need is sovereignty. The federal government is not going to deliver it. If you look at the sort of where the financial coup is, and I'm happy to discuss that, but we should probably do another show. But the financial coup has reached a point where if you want sovereignty, the only person who I believe can deliver that is your state governor and legislature. And you better stop paying any attention to Trump and Biden and start paying a huge amount of attention. If you've got a great state AG, if you've got great leadership in your state legislator, if you've got a great governor, you better start supporting them. You better start organizing and supporting them, because they are the people who can protect your sovereignty. And you need governmental sovereignty if you're going to have individual sovereignty. And you better do it now. You have no more time to play let's be entertained by Donald Trump and Joe Biden and Hunter.
Do you think the federal government could implode?
The federal government right now is imploding. I should say this, it's being imploded. But you have to understand, Greg, there is no federal government. What there is there is a big money flow, the biggest money flow in the world. And you have operations that are run by private corporations and private banks. Everything in Washington is now run by contractors who are mostly defense contractors and the New York Fed member banks and the banks. Okay? So the central banks and corporations are running everything, and the Department of Defense has finally issued what used to be called the JEDI contract, but it's a $9 billion cloud contract. And once they implement that contract, it gives them the ability, the banks and the IT contractors, the ability to completely reorganize and re-engineer the entire federal government, you know, basically through cloud systems, which steal your money and destroy what's remaining of your sovereignty. And that's why, unless we have the state standing up for us, we are in real serious trouble. That's going to be in 2023 and 2024. So, you know, we have continued to finance this operation, despite the fact that it was breaking all the laws and engaged, you know, in what a staffer in the Senate said to me in 2001 was, you know, the U.S. government is being run as a criminal enterprise. I was a Senate staffer in the Appropriation Committee in 2021. I'm sorry, in 2001. So we've tolerated and financed criminal enterprise for 20 plus years, you know, and now there's a coup. This is a coup.
That's pretty depressing. But the good news is you got to start taking local control. I mean, that's really what your message is today. You said, I want to tell people what they need to do this year on Savlari, and there's a lot to do. You're going to be doing this big food thing coming up. I hope you'll come back when you do it.
So, you know, here's the thing. I have one of my favorite expressions is turtle forth. You know, do everything you can do to assert sovereignty in your life and in a way that protects you and your family, and do it in a world that you drive around and see of people you can know and trust. There are thousands and thousands of things you could do, and everybody's different. You should do what you can do, but, you know, turn off your TV, turn off the whole Washington game, take that time and start using that time to build real power and real wealth in your life, in your neighborhood, in your business, in your enterprise, and all around you. And if you're not, you know, if you can't do that where you are, then if you have the opportunity to move and get to someplace where you can do it, you need to do it. But you need to take action now. And don't feel that it's hopeless. It's not hopeless. Don't feel that you can't do this. You can do this. The reality is, you know, I told you I used to have a friend who ran for governor in Tennessee. He said, you think a snowflake is, you know, is weak and fragile until you realize enough of them can get together and they can shut down New York City. If you look at the number of people who are using cash and the way cash is skyrocketing in use around the world, you know, if we do cash, if we move to the local banks, if we start, you know, talking to our local businesses about how we pull more market share back here, if we start, you know, saying no and walking away, the greatest political power in the world is shunning. If you just turn off, what was it you said about the newspaper that's losing subscriptions? Just walk
Washington
out.
Post losing 500,000 yeah. subscriptions. And then you have this communist.
That's not enough. They need to lose every one of them.
They got this strike that had a short strike in the New York Times, and I think they're complete propaganda. I was a guy that worked at 5 TV stations and 2 networks. I mean, so I know what propaganda is. I know what real reporting is, and what I'm saying, if I was doing editorial, would say, this is a propaganda piece. What the hell is this? And, you know, CBS News is total propaganda.
I got really badly burnt by the New York Times when I was in the Bush administration. It was shocking.
They made stuff up.
Yep, exactly.
Nobody writes herd.
They made that stuff up. I mean, they just made stuff up, and they fired to make it up. The reporter in charge of the article got it stopped. She went to the Washington editor, changed her story behind her back in the print shop, called and warned her. So she called the New York editor and got the lies stopped. But she had to leave the paper. She never worked as a reporter again. It was tragic because she was fabulous. Anyway, so that was during the Bush administration. And then in the Clinton administration, I had a worse experience with the Washington Post. And in 1998, that was 1998, I said, I'm never talking to another corporate paper reporter again. That's it. I'm out. I want nothing to do with them. They're a criminal enterprise.
And people will not, they will ultimately say, wow, this was a lie. And this lie about the vax that they all pulled?
Well, but here's the thing. You know, the thing that wins wars is actionable intelligence. So when you come to Soleri, you know, what I say is you got to know the difference between news, entertainment, disinformation, and actionable intelligence. What we need is actionable intelligence. And if you take your actionable intelligence from anybody who's pushing an official narrative, you know, that can kill your family.
Yep.
That can kill your family.
Case in point, take this shot. They're safe and effective. I know people that they write me all the time. They say, I didn't take the shot. Thank you for telling me not to do it. But my family, I couldn't reach them. I couldn't do it. Now they're sick.
Right.
I had an uncle die of a heart attack. Right. My sister is got screaming headaches and blots, blue blots in her veins. I told them, they thought I was a stupid one. All that talk has stopped. And this is awful. I mean, if you have good reporting, that's actionable intelligence. If objective, fact-driven reporting, that's what you do on Soleri. I mean, Soleri is way better than...
Well, that's what we try and do. Remember, we do a lot with unanswered questions because there's so many situations, Greg. We have one of the things we have, which is great, and you have it too, is we have thousands of subscribers sending us reports from all around the world. And that is the richest, best intelligence I get because it's sufficiently complex and accurate from the ground.
Yeah.
You know, the only way I ever understand what's going on in China is to get those kind of reports from people who either lived in China or relatives in China or they're in China and, you know, being very careful about that, they send emails. But, you know, it's in this world, it's very hard to get good intelligence. And so we spend a lot of time asking questions because there is a lot that is unknown about what is going on.
I'm telling you, what you guys do at Soleri is fabulous. And it's the new, I mean, you guys, Soleri is the new Time. Since Soleri is the new Newsweek, that's all crap. I mean, if you're reading that, you're wasting your time. I mean, you're watching the evening news.
Well, one of the things I will tell you is I told you this would come down to taxes. And if the federal government is really, you know, massively outside the law and acting massively outside the law and is in that much trouble and is basically being run by corporations and banks, not by you know, government officials and the civil service, then the time has come to say, okay, you know, it's time to get with the state attorney generals and the state leadership and say, you know, how do we manage this? How do we manage our taxes? Because we can't keep financing. Under the Constitution, we have a responsibility not to finance criminal enterprise. That is our obligation. And yeah. we need to assert the law. Question is, how do we do that together?
All of Congress, as to your point, and this is a good point, FASB, Rule 56, they can just have dark books. You don't get to know what's going on. It's all a national security issue.
Everything's secret. Right.
Everything's secret.
So if you're curious about this, go to missingmoney.solaria.com, and there's a section called Financial Laws. And we had our attorneys write 7 briefing papers, Greg, on how both the monetary and fiscal financial operations of the U.S. government and central bank work. And so it's all detailed out. And if you're a reporter interested in understanding more about the financial coup and all the money missing from the federal government, that legal briefing is essential to being able to cover it.
And you know, what Martin Armstrong says is, you don't buy gold for inflation or even deflation. You buy gold when you don't trust your government. And that's what you're saying, that the trust in government is going to get a pounding.
So you know, if you read the thing I pointed out, what percentage of my assets do I hold in precious metals? Go to Solari and pick that up. I describe 2 aspects to precious metals. One is, I think, it's a central bank insurance. So if you don't trust the government, it's there. You can put it in your pocket. You can walk away. The second is as an investment. I do think it's a reasonable investment. You're seeing central banks all around the world doing the same. You know, many of them are worried about sanctions and they don't want to be controlled as well. So there's a central bank insurance policy aspect, and there's an investment aspect. There's another aspect, and that is the fastest way to create a local currency on the just do it method is to use gold and silver. And I'm not saying that it's the most efficient local currency at the end of the day, but the question is, how do you kickstart it without a lot of organizational work? And this is how you do it. And you can use the silver and gold calculator at Solari, and all the material in this book, as well as the other materials we have available to subscribers to learn everything you need to know. And then it's just a matter of getting out there and finding, you know, where are the 20 farms and 20 businesses in your local area and other people who will come together in a syndicate and start to do this just to protect yourself.
Yeah. Lots of free information on Solari.com. You spent almost an hour with us. It's fabulous. I want to talk more about the financial coup, but that's another interview. And I want you to come back and talk about the food and financial coup. Maybe we can do that in the next few weeks. That'd be good. That'd be a good one.
I would love to talk about it. Wait till you read this food piece. It's unbelievable.
Oh, you're one of the brightest people I know. You put out absolutely fantastic information. This is something that you can get if you're a subscriber, which is pretty good. A lot of people don't know much about gold, much about silver, but it is, as it says in the Bible, God's money. And thank you so much for joining. But I want to hear your one thing about knowing if you can face it. What is your saying?
So I always say, if you can face it, God can fix it. Because whenever I bring up you know, sort of the Skidmore survey and what it's showing about adverse events of deaths, or whenever I bring up the fact that there's $21 trillion missing from DOD and HUD, you know, people get scared, and we can't go to fear, and we can't, you know, we can't feel that we personally have to fix all of this. We just have to, you know, take the actions we can take, that if everybody takes them, you know, we can work our way through this.
I love the snowflake thing. Snowflakes are fragile, but if enough of them get together, you could shut down New York City.
Well, but here's the other secret, Greg. And I love this because, you know, at heart, I'm an investment banker. I love making money. If you look at how much tyranny costs, tyranny is the greatest waster of wealth and the greatest destroyer of wealth. And if you literally look at how the U.S. federal credit works and how that works in every local area, neighborhood, every county, every state, I cannot tell you. Central control is destroying all the wealth on the planet. And if you could stop that corruption, if you could reverse that corruption, you could persuade everybody who's acting in a corrupt way to start behaving in a, you know, in a positive way, the wealth potential is mind-boggling. I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
That is too good even continue, because that was a fantastic thing. The tyranny is a money standpoint, takes a lot of money. It's a giant destroyer of wealth. Tyranny, a destroyer of wealth.